Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Oil production came to a full stop today in Iran because of the continuing strike in the southern oil fields. The state radio made the announcement this morning. It added that 18 of Tehran's 108 service stations have closed after running out of gasoline, and the Iranian Senate will hold a special session day after tomorrow to review the situation. Anti-Americanism flared up again today in Iran. Thousands of people marched through the streets shouting, "Yankee, get out!" Troops fired bullets and tear gas over the heads of anti-Shah demonstrators who demolished several cars and buses near the American embassy. And Randy Daniels reports that Iranian lawyers have appealed to the International Court of Justice to intervene in the political crisis.
The plea came following an incident yesterday when troops fired on a funeral procession, killing 10 people and wounding 55 others. The Iranian Association of Jurists has accused the military government of atrocities and said there is no longer any authority in the country to appeal to. This morning in Tehran, there were several scattered demonstrations, but none of them approaching the scale of yesterday. There are a few small fires still burning, and some barricades erected by demonstrators still stand. The economic crisis here is also worsening. Government opponents say Iran has 3 months of oil reserves, but the army is holding up distribution to keep people off the street. The sharp drop in oil production is causing a money squeeze. The government announced this morning that it is canceling a $500 million contract with the American Bell Helicopter Company. Business in Tehran is also grinding to a halt as most stores and offices remain closed today. Randy Daniels, CBS News, Tehran.
The Soviet Union, speaking through the pages of Pravda, has uncorked its most biting attack thus far on American involvement in Iran. The Communist Party newspaper charged that Washington is interfering in Iran's internal affairs and is trying to keep the Shah in power. These actions, said Pravda, were taken in the face of clear warnings from Moscow. That's a reference to Leonid Brezhnev's statement in October that, quote, any interference, especially military interference, in the affairs of Iran, a country that directly borders on the Soviet Union, would be regarded by the USSR as a matter affecting its security interests. President Carter later issued his own warning against outside interference in Iran. The high-level United States mission to Taiwan went to work there this morning, but not in the manner originally planned. The riotous protests that greeted its arrival yesterday changed all that. Donna Liu reports from Taipei.
Relations between Taiwan and the U.S. soured after last night's demonstrations. A weary American delegation canceled the talks originally scheduled for the morning. The Americans met instead with President Jiang Jingguo, who assured their personal safety in Taiwan. A crowd of thousands gathered in front of the foreign ministry to stage another show of protest over President Carter's decision. But the bilateral meeting was convened instead at the heavily guarded Grand Hotel in Taipei. The two sides are supposed to discuss a framework for the future of U.S.-Taiwan relations. But serious differences of opinion exist regarding Taiwan's international and legal status with respect to the U.S. State Department spokesman John Cannon said only that the first round of talks had been conducted in a serious atmosphere. It was also obvious that ill feeling over last night's hostilities still hung in the air. Donna Liu for CBS News, Taipei.
The verdict came last night in the Salem, Oregon rape trial, not guilty. Barry Peterson reports.
When the verdict was announced, John Rideout's family cheered. He had been acquitted of charges that he raped his wife, Greta, in a trial that was the first court test of a year-old Oregon law that says marriage is no longer a defense for rape. But the 21-year-old Rideout was simply glad it was over.
Both of us have been hurt pretty deeply, and I think it's going to be a long, long while before either of us gets over this period.
23-year-old Greta was the central figure in the case. She testified that during the October 10th incident, her husband used force when they had sex. Shaken and near tears, she was bitter about the verdict.
I don't think justice was done.
For the Rideouts, now in the midst of a divorce, this has been a celebrated case that will follow them for years. Now that it's over, both seem anxious to just put it behind them and go their separate ways. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Portland.
Authorities searching the home of John Gacy outside Chicago have now uncovered a total of 15 bodies, and they feel certain they'll find more in what is rapidly turning into one of the country's most gruesome mass murder cases. Robert Jordan takes it from there.
Gacy was charged with the murder of 15-year-old Robert Peast on Friday and is being held without bond in Cermak Memorial Hospital at the county jail. While Gacy sat in jail yesterday, it was learned that his lawyer had filed a $750,000 damage suit only days before the first body was found. The suit asked that the police investigating Gacy be stopped from following or questioning him and from searching or confiscating his property without a warrant. Gacy's lawyer claimed that Gacy can't get a fair trial now because of all the publicity the case has received. Reactions to the mass murder investigation reached the Chicago City Council when far northwest side Alderman Roman Kuczynski asked the Council Finance Committee to look for funds to improve the city's missing persons bureau. Said Kuczynski, "After Gacy, we can no longer presume that most teenage missing persons are runaways. The search for more bodies will resume later today." Robert Jordan, CBS News, Norwood Park Township, Illinois.
The search is on for three paintings by the French impressionist Paul Cézanne. Valued at $3 million, they were stolen from the Art Institute of Chicago. The works were in a locked storage room, accessible only to a small number of museum employees with special keys. A safe loaded with $1 million in drugs has been stolen from the University of Michigan Hospital in Ann Arbor. Hospital spokesmen say some of the drugs are experimental and highly dangerous because doctors would not know how to treat someone who took them. A special meeting of the City Council, called by Mayor Dennis Kucinich, is scheduled to commence at this hour in Cleveland. The mayor wants the council to approve his plan for getting the city out of default. But there's some doubt whether enough members will show up to constitute a quorum. And that, as we hear from Bob Faw, leads to a question.
The question here is whether Cleveland City Council members who boycotted the last emergency meeting called by Kucinich will now accept the mayor's proposal to pledge next year's tax receipts as collateral dollars in loans Cleveland cannot repay. Some council leaders say that proposal is illegal, but Kucinich says it's the only way to avert most of the 2,000 job layoffs scheduled for January 2nd. Because only with that collateral will banks give the city more time to repay the IOUs. City firefighters, though, have decided not to wait for the politicians. Last night, after a stormy meeting, 300 of them voted to hold a strike vote on Sunday. Union Chief Jack Gannon says the men think the city has enough money to avoid any layoffs.
$22 million for the safety forces. There's money there to keep us working, and we should be kept working. And that's why the men are upset.
So this morning, firefighters will ask a local court to block the layoffs, arguing that such cutbacks would endanger the public. And the city's police union says it will also be in court today if the city's feuding politicians cannot agree on a solution. Bob Faw, CBS News, Cleveland.
Newark, New Jersey is facing similar layoffs next week, and 348 municipal workers will be laid off in Detroit in an effort to balance the city's budget.
We know you work hard for your money, and today Datsun has a whole line of cars that lets you enjoy it.
Datsun 79!
Introducing the new Datsun 210s, starring the new 210 hatchback. With optional 5-speed stick, it's one of the highest gas mileage new cars you can buy. Hey, let that sink in. The 210 hatchback is the number one gas mileage Datsun. 41 Highway, 27 City. EPA estimates your mileage may differ. And you can have famous Datsun 210 economy in a brand new 210 Sport Wagon, our lowest price wagon, complete with split fold-down rear seat. The new Datsun 210s. You can't beat them.
Nobody demands more from the Datsun.
To save you money, to save you gas, to save you trouble.
8 U.S. citizens are facing probable trial in Quito, Ecuador, on charges of grave robbing. David Kendall has details.
5 American men and 3 women aged 20 to mid-50s are in jail in Quito, Ecuador. The group is accused of spiriting out of the country Indian treasures exhumed from ancient burial grounds. They were arrested October 25th after a 9th member of the gang informed on them at the Ecuadorian embassy in Washington. Robbing 3,000-year-old clay statues and gold ornaments from tombs is an almost honorable profession in South America. The world-renowned gold museum in Bogota, for example, buys 90% of its treasures from Colombia's estimated 10,000 grave robbers. The Americans are being held incomunicado in Quito's century-old stone penitentiary. Word from jail is the prisoners have hot showers and enjoyed a roast chicken dinner Christmas Day. In the coming week, the government is expected to decide to proceed with the trial. David Kendall for CBS News, Quito.
The government of Canada says it will accept 5,000 Indochinese refugees for resettlement next year. That's nearly three times the total Canada accepted this year, and will give special financial aid to Southeast Asian countries like Thailand and Malaysia that are sheltering large numbers of refugees. The Commerce Department reports that the U.S. trade deficit narrowed in November to around $1.9 billion from $2.13 billion in October. The dollar declined almost 2 yen today in Tokyo, and the dollar is weaker also on the major European exchanges.